It's 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. That means it's time for another hour here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and you're listening to 94.5 WGTK. Now, you can listen on your FM dial, on the free 94.5 app, or streaming online from the 94.5 WGTK website. Well, did you make it through Friday the 13th and a full moon? And I mean, it was full last night. I'm not superstitious, but I only went out last night to take the dog out, and that was just far enough to get her away where I wouldn't walk through whatever she had to do. I'm still afraid of the haints, wangdoodles, and wookalars that my granddaddy Bramlett used to tell us were out there in the woods at night. Now, I've never seen a haint, wangdoodle, or wookalar, but I'm sure if they were going to be out, then a full moon Friday night would be when they're out. So, I'm not sure they were monsters. May have been something my mom paid him to tell us so my brother and I wouldn't climb out of the house and go rambling around at the night when we were kids back on the farm. Whatever, it works, and it still does. I have a friend who's a PA down in Charleston. He usually has a few stories from the combination of full moon and Friday the 13th that he tells me about, but he's on vacation, so I guess I won't get anything good from him this year. He's the one that also says most of his emergency clinic visits starts with, he said, hold this, or that's nothing, watch this. And don't be one of those people this summer. Anyway, it's Saturday the 14th, so it's safe to go outside tonight and look at that full moon. Tomorrow is Father's Day. I hope if you haven't already done so, you'll make time to tell your dad how much you appreciate him. As a father myself, I can't help but think it's one of the toughest jobs. You know, I've got girls, and there's no book on that subject. So, Dad, I'll see you tomorrow, but I just wanted to say the older I get, the more I appreciate all the things you did as my father. Happy Father's Day. So, Dads, you've got a few short years to make a bond that's going to shape your kids and last a lifetime. I don't know of a better way to do that than to get them outside. There's something about being outdoors, far removed from the everyday hustle and bustle, you know, the normal life, that brings down the walls around you and opens up that daddy-daughter, and I expect the father-son relationship. Yes, it might mean doing something other than what you had planned or what you like to do but don't like to do, but you just might never discover something like hiking, camping, fishing, or even hunting together that makes it fun. I challenge you to try it and see, but try it with a positive outlook, or don't try it at all, because as I tell my kids all the time, attitude is everything. The rant for this afternoon, let's get on to the calendar of events. This is the last update for the lilies at Lansford Canal State Park. I checked their website yesterday, 70 to 80% bloom, which is about as full of bloom as you're going to get. Take a trip over there tomorrow for Father's Day, walk around the park, see the lilies. Good day. I caught this as I walked out today, but there's a sea turtle night walk down at Edisto Beach State Park every Tuesday and Thursday in June. So June, I guess the days we got left are the 21st and the 28th. The staff there at Edisto Beach State Park takes you out on a nighttime beach walk, and I understand the loggerhead sea turtles are already on the beaches. It's 9 to 11 p.m. There's a small fee, $10 for kids, $15 ages 17 and up. Advanced registration is required, but that's something to be really cool to go walking on the beach with somebody who knows what they're talking about, what to look for, and find a sea turtle. I was asked to pass this on. Cops on donut shops. If you're in Greenville or anywhere near a Krispy Kreme donut, at least here in Greenville, they're doing the South Carolina Special Olympics Dunk a Cop. It's on till 6 o'clock tonight, and within about 15 minutes of this show ending, that's where I'll be. I'm going to go get me some donuts. And I understand that the guys from Weekend Pulse were up there with them this afternoon. So Joey and those asked me to pass that along. It's for a good cause, the Special Olympics. Hey, go get you a free hot and ready donut for a donation. Coastal birding. Every week on Wednesdays at Huntington Beach State Park, which is considered by many to be the best birding spot in South Carolina, come and see for yourself. They've got some local birders, Phil and Sharon Turner, who lead walks along the causeway. And the causeway, if you've never been to Huntington Beach State Park, goes out to the beach, but it splits a freshwater pond on one side and a saltwater pond on the other side. Saltwater side's got lots of crocodiles. Alligators. But anyway, go there, and there's no telling what kind of birds you're going to see. There were some... When we were there a couple of weeks ago, there were some cormorants there, and it was a cormorant I'd never seen before. It was really pretty. their egrets and herons and that sort of thing. So if you're going to be down in Myrtle Beach, drive down to Huntington Beach State Park, spend a couple hours, 10 to 11 in the morning, birding. And don't forget to take your binoculars. Those are really important when you're looking for things. Lowcountry Anglers, the 19th annual Lowcountry Anglers Fishing Tournament is going to be this next Saturday, the 21st. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's one of those tournaments that's, it's a good tournament because anything qualifies. Speckled trout, flounder, sheep's head, bluefish, black sea bass, spade fish, Spanish mackerel, and king mackerel. They're actually going to have a king mackerel tournament within the tournament. If you're interested, you can go to their website or contact Skip Milligan at, I'm sure it's 843-509-0192. If you're going to be in Charleston, it's going to be the 21st out of the Charleston Maritime Center. Captain's meeting is this Thursday. I think they've had, made an announcement that you don't have to be at the captain's meeting if you can't make it down there. Good tournament for good cause. All the local charities that benefit from this tournament. Flora and Fauna Float, Table Rock State Park, June the 20th and the 26th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's on the 20th. And then on the 26th from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., you can go up, take a leisurely paddle around the lake of Pinnacle Lake. And it's an aquatic habitat, an opportunity to get on the lake. And like I said, Table Rock State Park has opened their swimming areas. So there's an opportunity to go get wet in this heat. And it's getting hot out there if you haven't noticed. I found a new site the other day, Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, right over here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Really neat site. I had no idea they have camps. I'm trying to get a hold of someone there to come on and talk about their summer camp programs. But they have several things that are open to the public. One of them was a teacher workshop. It was full. I wish I would have known about it. But, hey, it's full. Evidently, people know about it anyway. They have a coming up on June the 21st, a wilderness survival series. Interested in wilderness survival skills? Or do you just want to enhance your connection and knowledge of nature and its resources? Whatever the driving force, our summer survival series will help satisfy your thirst for wilderness knowledge. These fast-paced experiential courses will combine practical information, demonstrations, and hands-on experience to better prepare you for your next challenge and adventure. Sounds like fun. Sounds like something I would like to do. But you can go to there. It's the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. Go check their webpage out. They've got a link here for more details and for registration. And again, that is going to be on June the 21st. They've also got one in July and some other stuff that I'm going to talk about a little bit later on as we get closer to July. Fears that fortified Charlestown, you know, Charlestown is Charleston now. If you're going to be in Charleston, June the 21st, Charlestown Landing, which is up the Ashley River. I believe it's the Ashley. I sure hope it is. Those three rivers confuse me sometimes. It's a cannon demonstration, essentially what it is, 17th century artillery, but they're going to have, you know, workshops and that sort of thing, instructing you, telling you about what Charleston feared during its heyday when you had the Spanish, right down the coast in St. Augustine, Florida, and what worried Charleston during that time. A good educational thing if you're going to be in Charleston on the 21st of June. 4th of July, it's coming up in a hurry. And Greenville has one of the best, you know, Red, White, and Boom. Oh, I think that's Spartanburg. Anyway, Greenville has a really good fireworks display. But if you've ever been downtown, you know the traffic situation down there. Hey, you can go up to Caesar's Head State Park on July the 4th from 8:45 to 11 o'clock at night, hike up to the top of Caesar's Head, to the Caesar's Head Overlook, and watch the 4th of July celebration over downtown Greenville. Now, that's pretty cool because you can probably see several others around, plus all the everybody else shooting off their fireworks. Something really different to do, go up to Caesar's Head, watch the fireworks from the Caesar's Head Overlook, 9:45 to 11 on July the 4th. There's the music. I do have a few more I'll cover on the other side. See you in a few minutes. Cheeseburger in paradise. Heaven on earth with an onion slice. Worth every damn little sacrifice. Turn it up. Cheeseburger in paradise. I'm just a... Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. As always, I'll put these calendar events on the Facebook page and the website. Website is woodsandwatersc.com. Facebook page, facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. You can log on, give the post a like. Yes, I do have a new email address. It's roger@woodsandwatersc.com. I actually found the password I'd written down on some piece of paper that was laying on my desk the other day. So I can now get in my email on the website. So send your pictures, comments, an event you'd like for me to add to the next calendar. Love to have your input. On the line with us today is Bradley Miller with the Department of Natural Resources. Bradley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Look, I appreciate you coming on with us today. Are you still out on the water?
I am not. I am stuck in traffic on Woodruff Road.
Oh, no. Well, Bradley's with the Department of Natural Resources, and the reason he's on the show with us today is because summer is here. And Bradley, if you were out on Lake Hartwell this morning, I'm sure you saw your fill of boats, PWCs, and stand-up paddleboards.
That's it. We saw plenty. We were actually out working a swimming event, so we didn't get to do a lot of focusing on boats. We did towards the end. Everybody seemed to be having a good time, enjoying the sun.
Did you lose any of the swimmers?
We did not. Thankfully, we did not. There was many volunteers out there watching. There was probably about 500 people out there swimming everything from 5K to half K. So, it was a range of probably 6-year-olds to 60-year-olds swimming. So there was a lot of people out there watching, and glad everybody's safe.
And a good day to go swimming.
Very good. Very hot outside.
Yes, it's very hot. I'm sorry you're stuck in traffic, but at least you're here on the air with us.
I no problem at all.
What is, we're in the boating season now, and I want you to give us some help with boating safety. What's the number one problem in boating safety from your standpoint?
From my standpoint, life jackets. Life jackets are one of the biggest things we look for. There are other things as such as sound device and navigational lights and type 4 throwables and fire extinguishers. But when it comes down to it, there's many a times where we ride by and just say, hold up a life jacket. Life jacket's going to be what saves your life. So we are definitely on the look for that and making sure everybody's safe and enjoying the water.
What's the, correct me if I'm wrong, the age requirement on life jackets ends when the boat gets over 16 feet, correct?
That is correct. A boat over 16 feet, you are not required to wear a life jacket at any age. Under 16 feet and under, a child 12 and under must be in a life jacket.
But that's a cheap piece of insurance for a kid, is just having to wear one all the time the boat's under power.
It's not worth losing a child over. And the big thing is we see a lot of problems is making sure that life jacket fits the child. You stick a 4 or 5-year-old child in an adult life jacket, and they're trying to do right, and they think it's safe, but if something happened, that child went in the water, the life jacket's going to come straight over their head, and they're going to go to the bottom. So, make sure to have a youth life jacket, an infant life jacket, something that is, going to fit them size-wise as far as weight.
Right. So you look for, one of the biggest things you look for is life jackets out there. What are some of the things you're going to look for negligent boating-wise and that sort of thing?
Well, I work in Greenville County, and it's a little bit different as far as what we look for just because there's not a lot of big water.
Right.
We were out on Hartwell today, and, there's many things we look for. We want everybody to be safe, but, something I look out for, and it's a big, big thing to me, is people behind people pulling tubers and skiers, just getting close to other boats and slinging them out wide towards docks, and making sure the boats behind those boats are on a lookout.
Yeah.
I get nervous always riding behind one just because you never know when that person's going to fall off, and then you've got to do something to change your path to make sure there's not a disaster.
It's almost like following another car on the road. You got to make sure you got enough room between you and the next boat ahead of you, or the guy on the tube or the water skis, where you can get around him before you run over him.
Oh, 100%. And you know, they can come off quick, and you might not see them come off, but once they're in the water, unless they're throwing their hands up 99% of the time, if you didn't see them come off, you're not going to see them in the water. So, you got to be careful. You got to be observant. Same as driving a car. Yep. Keep your eyes forward. Pay attention to what's around you. You know, there's no lines you got to drive in the lake, but, know what's coming at you, know what's going away from you, and just be aware of your surroundings.
Common courtesy would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%.
Well, look, if you had to give one piece of advice to a new boater, guy just bought his boat, somebody just got a new PWC, what's the best advice you could give them?
Take a boating class. And I know it seems somewhat childish. You know, people think, well, I can go out and drive a boat. It's not hard. There's not many rules. Well, there are a lot of rules. When it comes down to it, there's a lot of laws you have to follow, and people don't know it. We come across it every day, whereas someone will say, well, I didn't realize I had to have that, and I read the book. Well, go take a simple boater's class, and you can find those on our DNR website. Take something, learn a little bit about it, and when you're ready to put in on the water, you've learned your laws and know what you need to do, but when you're ready to put in, not on a weekend, put in on a weekday, and then go enjoy it
at
a slow time. Without all the crowds. You get out on a Saturday, and everybody's off and wanting to enjoy it, but then you also have some boats out there that can run 60, 80 miles an hour, and they gonna make you feel a little uncomfortable. Go to a smaller lake where you can, where you know where you're going, you're not gonna get lost and not worry about it, or you can just kind of putt around and get the feel of the boat.
That was good, because that was one of the things I had down here. Does South Carolina require a boating safety course? Now, we don't require it like we require a hunter safety course, but it's a good idea to take one.
It's never gonna hurt. And we don't deal with it, or in Greenville we don't, as far as a child, under the age of 16, even 12, if they're out there alone, some of them are required to have it. And that's just, but majority of the time a parent's going to be with a young child out on a boat. But I advise everybody, it's worth taking a class. You will learn something, even if it's just a law that's going to keep you out of trouble out on the water.
One of those things you didn't think you needed to know.
Oh, 100%, because there's a lot of them.
It is. Trust me. I got a little boat that I run around in Charleston in, and it's amazing the things you have to keep up with and know just to go fishing for a little bit.
Just a little bit can cost you.
It sure can. It sure can.
The main thing we want is enjoy your time. We are, a lot of people think we're the bad guys, and do we have to do those things sometimes? Yes, we do. But our main goal is to keep everybody safe, to enjoy the water, because we enjoy it ourselves.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot. Well, Bradley, I appreciate you coming on and giving us some information right from the source.
Yes.
Have a good day. Hope you get out of that traffic soon.
I got you. Have a good one, partner.
All right. Thank you, sir. It is something to think about. You get excited about getting a boat. And I remember when I got mine, I was just ready to get to the water. And I ran down to Apple Landing and put in. I'd never had my own boat before. And I just off across the lake I went. And, in retrospect, it was really not the wisest thing to do. But I just had to get in the water. But I did. I came back, took my boating safety course. And it is a lot to keep up with. And a lot of it's just out there to protect you from everybody else. Running lights is a big one. I love to go nighttime fishing down in Charleston. And without those running lights, that anchor light, it's one of the things that's got to be there. He mentioned you could go to the DNR webpage. They have links there for boating safety courses. The Coast Guard gives them, DNR gives them, Towboat US or CETO, they have links that will get you to a boating safety course. You can do them online or in a classroom. But the DNR has just a simple little page that I print out here. It says boating safety. It says, before you leave, download the DNR float plan, fill it out, and make sure you leave the plans with a responsible individual. you know, that's not something you normally think about, but if your boat breaks down and they don't know exactly which lake you were on or what part of the lake you were on, you know, then it takes you longer to find them. Check the weather. Boy, weather in the summertime, it changes by the hour. Make sure you know the long-term weather forecast. And of course, today with weather apps and smartphones, there's no sense not to know what the weather's doing. Let somebody know where you're going. Gather all the life-saving devices. Make sure they're in good serviceable condition and are the correct size, especially children. And let me tell you what, they will ticket you for a torn life jacket. So something to keep in mind when you're doing this. Check fuel and the battery charges. Make sure all the lights are in good working condition on the boat and the trailer. And the trailer, there's a whole other ball of wax, is making sure your trailer's in good, you know, the hubs, the bearings, the lights, that sort of things. Make sure your fire extinguisher, if you have to have it on the boat, is accessible in good serviceable condition. One of my favorite one, put the plug in. There is nothing worse than backing a boat down in the water, parking the trailer, and you come back and you're like, now why is the boat canted over like that? And why is it resting on the concrete? And why is the motor foot digging in the concrete? Because you didn't put the plug in. Now, smaller boats, a Walmart bag will work. I have plugged a boat with a Walmart bag. I don't recommend it, but that's just one of those things. Connect the safety trailer chains on the tow vehicle. Carry a cell phone. Like I said, it's no excuse not to have one. On the water, know the aids to navigation, the buoy system. Careful about operating a boat under the influence of alcohol or drugs. You know, be aware that sailboats always have the right of way unless they're under power. That's a big one. Someone falls over, throw something to them. Don't jump in after them. Boat capsizes, stay with the boat. Caught in a storm, head into the wind, put on PFDs, keep everybody low in the boat. Something to keep you safe. Love to enjoy the water, but you won't be safe doing it. There's the music. I'll be back on the other side with more of Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You can call in at 235-9405 or 877-235-9405 or send me an email at roger@woodsandwatersouthcarolina.com. It's always good when you have your state or someone in your state that's on the cutting edge of things. And about a month ago or so, I don't know how I got to it, but I got to an article in the state paper. And it was talking about a company in Columbia and a hunting app. And I said, I think this is good radio. So on the phone with us right now, we have Lanford Holloway from Columbia, South Carolina. How are you, Lanford?
Doing very well, Roger. What about yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, the thing that really caught me in this article is the first line. The art of hunting requires understanding the many rhythms of nature, from wind direction, stages of the moon, to calls, scents, and migration habits. And it says managing those changing elements is more complex than just hunkering down in a deer stand or a duck blind and hoping for the best.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I hunkered down and hoped for a best. Now that I'm a little bit older, I tend to take a little better, structured approach to things. And that's where your company, TerraStride, and Hunt Stand comes into play.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about TerraStride and the Hunt Stand app.
I sure will. So TerraStride is the parent company. At its heart, TerraStride is a mapping company. So we have a web-based mapping platform that allows you to do all kinds of different things. And we're actually working towards building another piece of software that I'll talk about more in a minute. Just going to use that platform very heavily. But in the short term, it became clear to us that there were a lot of things we could address with software and just in mobile devices. And we decided to build a Hunt Stand app for both Android and Apple. And that came out for both those platforms in November or so of last year. And it did very, very well, actually. We were, it was the number two most downloaded, sports app on the Play Store, which is Google. And it was the number four most downloaded sports app for that time period on the Apple App Store. So it actually did extremely well. We got tens of thousands of downloads and it's been rated real highly.
And I have played with it, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be rated highly. It's one of the most easiest apps to work with.
Thank you. We spent a whole lot of time on that, actually. So there are a lot of things that are kind of complicated, that are kind of happening in the background. But we said, you know, let's make this thing you know, real, really easy that if you want to measure, you just type in the measurement square and then you type a couple points on the screen, you touch them, and then it tells you how far apart they are. Or if you're looking to see what's happening with your scent going into the future, let's design a way that, you know, that helps folks be able to figure that out. So just a lot of features, and we sort of hunkered down and said, you know, how can we make something real user-friendly? So it means a lot hearing that from you, Roger. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute. The main, I guess the two platforms that you use are Google Earth for mapping and AccuWeather for your weather and wind.
That's right.
Now, why? Of course, I guess Google Earth's just a gimme. I mean, there's if you want to know what's going on anywhere, go to Google Earth and look at your terrain, your map, and all that. Was there any special thing about AccuWeather that made you choose them?
They just have very, very good weather data. It's not free. We do have to pay for it. But we pay for the best national forecast you can get. Actually, in fact, it's not just national. It covers the entire world. We've got a pretty large amount of users in Europe, Asia, and South America as well for HuntStand Lite. So we find a lot of people that are going into rural parts of Africa even will use our app because it works entirely in areas without cell phone coverage. So if you're even in South Africa, you can download a detailed weather forecast, and then you can go out in the bush on a big game hunt, and all of the software will work just fine offline. So it's actually become very popular even outside of this country for just that reason.
Which was a very neat aspect of this whole app is it if I'm out in the field and I don't have very good Wi-Fi, which I don't in some places I go, I can go in and sync everything, and it will store that synced material for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's something I want to make just clear to people is it's a cool feature, but some folks think that means that they can just take it offline and it'll work just fine. Well, it will, but you do have to still be somewhere with data, and then you have to sync all the weather info, which is really easy. You just touch one icon, it says syncing weather info.
That's what it
does.
Once
you do that, it'll work for 5 days offline. But you do have to be somewhere with data at least every now and then, because you do have to download it from somewhere.
Well, I downloaded the app on my iPhone, but it's, of course, you know, the old, you know, what, 3-inch screen or whatever. It's not bad to play with, but anyway, I borrowed an iPad because I don't own one. And talk about ease of use. You know, you got six little boxes here. One of them says hunt zone. And if I hit the hunt zone one, it of course takes me to where I plugged in as my hunting, my primary little, and you can have up to five of these.
That's right.
Five areas you want to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a green circle here with an orange pie, piece of pie. Tell me what I'm looking at here.
Okay. So the hunt zone kind of has two main parts to it. One is that you, of course, as you just pointed out, you select a hunt area. You can move that hunt zone around any deer stand within a 5-mile area of what you consider to be where you're going to hunt, because that's where it syncs up all the data for.
Okay.
And what you do is you choose the stand you're sort of interested in exploring more. The first chart for the hunt zone shows you the wind speed over the next 72 hours.
That's correct.
And so then you can slide a shaded region along that line. So if you're planning on hunting, you know, tomorrow afternoon or whatever, you would slide it to Sunday, you know, let's say starting at 3 or something like that. And then when you slide it to that, as soon as you let your finger up, it expands that period of time. And then you can actually control that piece of pie, as you put it, coming off the circle. And what's really neat about what we've done, and it's very different from really anything that exists, is that not only can you slide along that line at the bottom with your finger, and it shows you where your scent is going to be blown, you know, 3 or 4, you know, days into the future,
right,
you know, final hunting, it also tracks where it's going to shift within a particular period of time. So if you're telling it you're going to, let's say you're going to start at 6 a.m. on Sunday, and you're planning on, you know, hanging out in the stand for a couple hours and going to get a bite to eat and going back in the afternoon, you can scroll forward that entire period, and it will show you everywhere that your scent is going to shift. And then there's a piece of that circle that becomes orange instead of red, and that tracks where your scent is going to be throughout the whole period of time that you're planning on hunting. And then everywhere that's still green is what we call the hunt zone, which means that's where you want to have things like your feeders and your food plots and other things that are going to track deer that are downwind from you, that are upwind from you, rather.
And that'll very quickly let you know whether you want to go to this stand or that stand.
Exactly. That was the thought process there. Right.
Back on the main page, we got a landing zone. Now, I'm a duck hunter, so I know exactly what this is. And it's totally reversed from deer hunting. If I want a deer hunt, I want that wind blowing in my face. I want the deer movement to be in front of me, not downwind. But when I'm duck hunting, I want the wind to be coming from behind me, and I want the ducks to come in looking at me because they always land into the wind. So you got a landing zone here, and I can go to a place that I like to duck hunt and hit that right there. And essentially it does the same thing as the hunting zone does, except in reverse. It tells me that it's got the blue arrows coming, showing the wind direction, and it's got a pretty good little flock of ducks here. I suppose those are all mallards, four drakes and two hens. And they're coming as they would land into the wind. And you can do the same thing with the slider bar over a period of time. If you're going to hunt morning and then come back in the evening, you may want to stay in the same blind. You may want to change one. So it's got the exact same thing for duck hunters that it does for deer hunters.
Yeah, it just seemed like a logical thing to do for us. I mean, designing the hunt zone for deer hunting was actually pretty time-consuming and expensive. And then we thought about it, and we thought, you know, even though there are fewer duck hunters, we can use the same technology, exactly the way you put it. That's very shrewd, Roger. Just put it in reverse, basically. And we said this will work extremely well for folks who are trying to hunt ducks and geese and various types of waterfowl. And that's what we did, and it's also been a popular feature with that crowd, definitely.
The measurement one is something everybody likes to know. You know, I can go to a stand here, tap right at the base of it, and tap out, and it'll tell me that's 85 yards from my stand to where I think the deer are coming out of the pine trees.
Yeah.
And it's good up to however far you want to do, correct?
I mean, it'll measure further than you can see. Certainly further than you can take a shot at. So, yeah.
That's true.
I've talked to a lot of folks, and they say, you know, it's not going to be as exact as of course, you know, having a real piece of hardware out there to give you the distance, but it is pretty damn close. We've measured football fields with it. It's 100.012 yards. I mean, it'll get you right there. So as long as you have an attribute you can see from the satellite, if you can see your stand and you're trying to measure across the field, it gives you a really good idea of that distance. And sometimes, as pretty much any hunter knows, distance can be a tricky thing, but it's an important thing to know.
So it's a very
powerful tool to have in your pocket.
And you know, if you're a bow hunter, you're going to have your pin set up and know you're 20, 30, 40 yards. But for a guy with a rifle, you know, 200 yards, if it's 197 or 205 yards, it's not as big a deal.
Right.
To us.
But is it, you know, 200 or is it 310 yards? And, you know, I've measured a lot of distances and range finders, and I've sat in a deer stand about as much as anybody. And, you know, I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of distance just kind of by looking at it, but I've been real surprised, you know, myself quite a few times. Sometimes it's real hard to tell.
It is hard to tell. Even as much time as you spend in the woods, it's still deceptive, and especially over water. And this measurement tool also measure on water too. It uses Google Earth platform, will measure whatever you want. We're about 30 seconds away from a break, so let's talk about the icons, and can you hold over to the next segment?
Sure, no problem.
We've got an icon thing here, and tell me some of the icons that I can get off of this to mark places on my hunt club.
Right. Well, we have 29 custom icons. They cover all kinds of things like food plots and feeders and traps, and gates, things that are, you know, kind of stationary or things you can move, tripods, tree leaners. We also have a bunch of trophy icons. Those can either be for sightings or trophies you've taken from, you know, big game like, you know, whitetail, small games such as rabbits or birds, or pretty much everything in between.
All right, we're going to get a break. Hang on.
Sure.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're talking to Lanford Holloway from TerraStride about their Hunt Stand app. And Lanford, thanks for holding over the break.
Sure.
Come to the last couple of things here, which are two of the most important. That's the weather and the solunar tables.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about you using AccuWeather because it's a worldwide platform. And I use AccuWeather on their standalone app. That's the one I always go to. I've had them all, WeatherBug and some of the others. This has been one of the best ones for me.
Good.
So in the weather app, we get, of course, what exactly is going on right now. Plus, we got the 24-hour temperatures, 24-hour chance of precips, and we can go out to 72 hours on that and even up to 5 days.
That's right.
And if you're going to be in the field from, you know, you're going to hunt club, spend the night, hunt the next day or two, that's something that's really nice to have in one place. And then right next to it is the Solooner tables. Now I'm not, I don't know, I go back and forth. I guess if I had enough time to go when the Solooner tables said to go, I'd probably agree with them more, but for me, it's go when you can go.
Same here for me.
Yeah. But that is something that's really neat to have side by side.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah, we put a lot of thought and effort into those parts as well. Well, the whole app, obviously, we put a lot of effort into. But for the weather page, I'll discuss that for a little bit first. The current weather page we're very proud of because it's got a couple charts down at the bottom of it, as you've seen.
Yep.
And we think that too few weather apps use charts. And charters are really, really, and graphs are a really efficient way to show things. A lot of apps have a big old grid, and they go down by the hour, and they have a number that says something like chance of rain. And we said, well, why not make a line graph that starts at your current time and goes forward a day into the future by the hour, and you've got a bar that goes up, and the bar is at 100, that means there's a 100% chance of rain.
Right.
And if it's down to zero, that means there's no chance of rain, and you can just get a lot more out of charts than you can out of looking at, you know, a big old grid of numbers anytime. So we went ahead and did that with both the chance of rain as well as the temperature. And we thought that was really important. And of course, it has wind speed and direction and the high and the low and the visibility and, you know, the barometric pressure.
Right.
All the other variables that a hunter cares about. And then, as you mentioned, we have a 72-hour by the hour forecast, and we have a 5-day kind of high level forecast. On the Solooner tables, you're right. I mean, the most important feature there, we think, is just the sunrise sunset. Of course, there are a lot of laws that are around hunting that dictate how long after sunrise or sunset, rather, you can stay in the stand, things like that. And it's also good to know, you know, what time the sun's going to come up. So that's an important part. The Solooner tables in regard to the, you know, the peak game activity times, you're right. That is a somewhat controversial portion. Some hunters swear by it. Some hunters think that it doesn't do that much. And I've been involved in a lot of those debates.
Uh-huh.
I try to stay out of that. And we said, look, you know, here's the table. You know, we've given you the numbers. If you believe that this works well, then, you know, it's right here on the phone for you. And if you don't think it plays much of a role, then you just don't have to use
it. Ignore it.
Exactly.
Cover it up when you look at the sunrise and sunset. Just put your hand over the bottom part, and you don't have to look at it.
Exactly. But that's a great way to spark an argument amongst some hunters. Just ask them whether there's any proof of that.
You're right there. You are right. Well, look, thanks for coming on. You've got hunt stand, and you've got hunt stand turkey for the turkey hunters. And I think what we'll do is have you back on and getting closer to turkey season, talk about that. There is some upcoming news for the Hunt Stand app. You want to go ahead and give me just a tweak of what's coming with that one?
Absolutely, sure. So we're working on Hunt Stand Pro right now. And Hunt Stand Pro is a sort of next-generation app, and it's going to sync up with a website, which is going to be huntstand.com. You can go to huntstand.com and view some screenshots of our apps right now, but behind the scenes we're working on a pretty incredible piece of technology that's going to sync up with the app. Hunt Pro is going to let you do all kinds of things. It's going to let you, of course, do all the things that our other apps do in terms of weather and measurement tools. They even have some new measurement tools. But it's also going to let you really manage property. You can do things like tag task and attach photos to task. And you can join clubs and do property boundaries and measure food plots and all kinds of really, really neat things. And we're working on that, and we're actually pretty close to getting that released right now.
Good. Well, look, I appreciate you coming on. It's always nice when there's South Carolina people doing things for worldwide people, and Hunt Stand, I'll be using it this fall, and I look forward to seeing the pro model coming out soon.
Thanks very much, Roger. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Lanford. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. And normally, I'm not an app person. I have a few, but I saw this article, and it was a good one. And the app is so easy to use. Go ahead and get it. I know a lot of guys are doing hunt club work days right now. You've got time to get down there, put all the icons up, get your distances measured. Maybe you want to see, really, do I want to put that stand here? It's got icons for bedding areas, all sorts of things. I think it'll really do you well come hunting season. I know I'm going to try to use it. Hey, a little distraction and a boring day in a tree stand is worth it. Oh, news for this day. Boy, this hour has flown by. Big story from Delta Waterfowl the headline is Defending Carolina Duck Hunters. And if you're in South Carolina, this applies to you. And it starts out, of course, they give it a little, a little intro here. Picture a perfect waterfowling morning, sunrise breaking through a cloud bank above seemingly endless marshland, ducks trading from brackish tidewater flats to a tangle of rivers and creeks, the hum of a towering 115 kilovolt power line overhead. Okay, maybe not so perfect. But here in South Carolina, that's what they're proposing to do over the treasured Santee Delta and Santee Delta Wildlife Management areas down along the coast. There is a proposal to bring a high-tension transit line out of McClellanville, and one of the plans is to cross 1,700 acres of Santee Delta. Now, I know a little bit about ducks, and I know a little bit about ducks and power lines. I was a member of a hunt club down in Anderson. It was a duck club, and we had the club, and Public Utility came across and said we need to put in a high-tension transit line, and it essentially eliminated the bottom half of one impoundment and the upper half of a second impoundment. So I know what this does just on a small scale. I can't imagine as big as Santee Delta to have the same effect on all of it. But, I mean, seriously, there's probably another way they can go around this. Even a lot of people in McClellanville who would benefit from this have come out against it. So if you're a duck hunter, if you just enjoy the outdoors, go to Delta's website. That's Delta Waterfowl. Read the article. They've drafted a letter of concern. And you can have a votility service that you can access to voice your concerns. But anyway, this is news that everybody needs to know, whether you duck hunt or not. It's just something that's, you know, these waterfowl management areas and these public hunting lands, they're not much. So why don't we leave those alone and go on and put that thing around it somewhere where it doesn't interfere with a lot of our waterfowl and, you know, Santee Delta. After the season's over, it's a major wintering ground. Moving on, the General Assembly, you know, they passed that blue catfish law. They also passed a couple of others, and some of them are possession limits on spot whiting and Atlantic croaker. I don't know a lot of people that fish for them. Guys I hang out with, we redfish and that sort of thing, but they do have some new possession limits. It is unlawful for a person to take or possess in any one day more than 50 of the combination spot whiting croakers. Be aware of that when you go out on the water. Now, additionally, on July the 1st, the new flounder regulations take effect. They're now 20 per person, 40 a boat. Starting July the 1st, that'll be 15 per person per day, and the boat limit becomes 30. So they actually passed this back in 2013, but the first implementation day is July the 1st. So be aware of that as you're going down to the beach this summer, Charleston coast. Be aware that there are some changes in those, and those will be in the new DNR regulations. Speaking of the new DNR regulations, it's time to renew your hunting license. The sales start actually started yesterday, the 16th. Wait a minute. Today's the 14th. So Monday they'll start. It always gets me sometimes. I go along through the summer when I really like to fish and all that. And sometimes the 1st of July, I'm going, I need to get my license renewed. So get a jump on it. I'm actually going to do mine ahead of time this year. So I won't get caught during July with an outdated hunting or fishing license. Tomorrow is the last day to apply for the alligator hunt. If you haven't heard yet, the upcoming alligator seasons, the application process ends tomorrow. If you're planning on hunting alligators, you might want to do that today or tomorrow. It's just $10 if you want a preference point, $100 if you get a tag. DNR is going, in conjunction with Take One, Make One program, is going to provide special youth deer hunts in the upstate. And it starts off youngsters between the ages of 10 and 15. Would you like to go deer hunting this fall but don't have anyone to take you? Would you like for the hunt to be somewhere nearby where there are lots of deer? Would you like the event to be carefully supervised and for a responsible adult to become your mentor and help teach you how to hunt effectively, safely, and ethically? That's what's happening here in the upstate. And they're partnering, DNR is partnering with several hunt clubs and farms here in the upstate, the Brownlee Farm, Johnson Farm, Horseshoe Falls Hunt Club, Chufa Ridge Farm, Broken Arrow. These are all spread through October, November, and December. And the whole push behind this is we're looking for young people who have an interest in hunting but don't have anyone to take them. And if there's anything about this show, it's about getting this next generation involved. There's no cost associated with these hunts. People will be there to provide guns, to provide safety instruction. I even read here where lunches are provided. So if you think that you would be interested in this, get a hold of the Department of Natural Resources. All this is going to take place out of the union office. The telephone number is 864-427-5140. You can also go to the website and download an application from the website. A great opportunity to get a young person, and maybe you don't like to hunt. That's fine. Here's your chance to let them get experience and exposure to that with someone that knows what they're doing. I want to say special thanks to Bradley Miller from DNR for being here for the boating safety segment. Lanford Holloway from TerraStride, the Hunt Stand app. Download the app and play with it. It's a real easy app. In fact, you kind of get it and you're like, that's all? But it's really powerful. It's just so easy to use. So get it. Get all your information in from this year while you have time to do it instead of October the 15th going, oh gosh, I wish I knew how far that shot would be. Chuck Norris for this week, and this one will date you. Chuck Norris is the reason Waldo is hiding. I hear James in the background, and that means that's all for another Saturday on Woods and Water. Make time to get outdoors, travel the back roads, be careful, give Dad a hug tomorrow, and don't forget the camera. I'll see you next week. South Carolina, Woods and Water.